You know, one of the most unique things about being a special speaker in churches, and I do that a lot, reason for that is I'm a mission speaker and then have that opportunity for Bible conference and revival. And as a mission speaker, you know, there's many times that people will talk about my mission before they introduce me. Well, some speakers are just like they have all these degrees and they have all these accolades and all these things. And one day this preacher was introducing this fella. He was sitting there in a chair. And as he was sitting there in a chair, normally there's three chairs up front. Pastor and I were talking about that today, for one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. And you never know which chair to sit in when you're a special speaker. Well, he had sat in right near, and the American flag was there and the cross and the different things were up front. And as he was being introduced, he had the same problem as me. I'm always a shirt tucker. I try to make sure my shirt's tucked in. And he was tucking his shirt in as this guy was introducing him longer and longer and longer. And then right after he got done tucking his shirt in, he moved forward to the pulpit and the flag was tucked in the back. And he got bonked on top of the head. That's funny. I think that's funny. I don't know if it's true, but my brother-in-law says it's a true story. I always bring my Bible along, but many times I'll have my Bible on the side while I'm preaching because I put all the things either on the PowerPoint. You can, PowerPoint, I think I just got to go one click. Oh, I went two clicks now. Now you know what I'm going to talk about. Okay, I'll have the Bible on either a sheet of paper, like I have my notes right here, or I'll have it because I have a hard time finding my place in the Bible since my stroke. And Penny Womer and I have been Facebook friends for 3 or 4 years, and I looked over and I said, remind me your name again. I forget names, but one thing I don't forget is my favorite hymn. You sang my favorite hymn tonight. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. I actually think of that. Is it? Absolutely. Everything that I said for Jesus is what will be left behind. So my goal today is to teach you how to live supernaturally. Now I have to admit something. Before I was a missionary, I didn't know how to live supernaturally as much as I do now. So I'm just going to let you in on the secret. There is some secrets that I think many times we as Americans, we miss out on. Wouldn't you like to, instead of living naturally, like a natural man, wouldn't you like to live supernaturally with the power of God in your life? In the former Soviet Union, there's two major problems. Well, actually, three major problems when you're talking to people. About one-third of the area called the post-Soviet world is Muslim. So there you have people who believe in something else. In the former Soviet Union, you also have atheists. They don't believe in anything. They believe in a system that has failed them miserably. And then there's the Eastern Orthodox Church that's close. They believe everything that we believe, but many times they forget about that personal relationship, that born again into the child of God, being a child of God in the family of God. They forget that. They literally will teach that the church will take care of your sins. We're offering up petitions to God every hour of every day for your sins. So all you need to do is come in and worship, give your money, keep your mind and your eyes off of the world, and light a candle in the church. Lots of times that's what they do. They think that's what they need to do to be right with God. So we have to introduce them to that personal love of Jesus. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. to live supernaturally, the first thing we think of during the supernaturally thing, there's a whole bunch of Marvel movies and all different kinds of movies of superheroes. I kind of still like the old superhero. I forgot I'm the one clicking. There's Superman, and I didn't want to leave out Superwoman. And you gotta have her too, or you look sexist, and I wouldn't want to look sexist. These are people who have this super strength, and they're saving the world. And they're cartoons. And they're not real. But there is a supernatural Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus and the Father of Jesus that's supernatural. And how do we learn how to live supernaturally? And are we offered the ability to live supernaturally? I know we are. I'm going to try to prove that to you tonight. The Apostle Paul was a killer of Christians, and on the road to Damascus, he fell on the road, and Jesus spoke to him and said, "Now you get up. You're going to serve me from now on. Why are you kicking against me?" And there, on that road to Damascus, with a bright light shining down on him, he realized he was a sinner in need of that Savior who had struck him down, and he gave his life to Jesus. Shortly after that, let me just read this to you. Shortly after that, in Damascus, that's where he was headed. He had been there ministering. He started preaching almost right away because Pharisees, he had been a Pharisee. Pharisees were put at task to memorize the whole Bible, the whole Old Testament. So he knew the Word of God inside and out. He had it memorized. So in Damascus, he's preaching, and the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascens with a garrison desiring to arrest me, the Apostle Paul. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. From the get-go, the Apostle Paul was under constant attack to try to stop him from preaching the gospel. And I'd like to say at the beginning here that he lived supernaturally. I'm going to prove it to you. He lived and then spoke about having a supernatural life. And tonight I am going to ask, if anyone wants to come to the altar, there's going to be two reasons to come. But one of them would be you kind of lost your zeal for living supernaturally. As I said in the former Soviet Union, my favorite, I really enjoy talking to Muslims about Jesus. I really enjoy talking to atheists about Jesus. Because I went through a time in my life when I really needed to make sure that what the Bible said was true. So I studied all the arguments against Christianity. And if you have any questions or arguments against the Savior, against the Lord Jesus, against the Word of God, feel free to ask me. I'm sure your pastor has already dealt with most of them. But I had to go through those things because if I was going to be a preacher of the gospel, I needed to know it was true. I stand before you saying, I'll go across the world, go up against anybody in conversation because Jesus is my Savior. He's the lover of my soul. He's my friend, and he's my God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of Jesus, that's one way to say the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one and one in three. So you can say, as Jesus said, I and my Father are one. But yet they're distinctly different too. And he often talked about his Spirit referring to the Holy Spirit because the Spirit, the Father, the Son are in full communion with each other. It's hard to understand. But tomorrow night we'll talk about the fullness of God dwelling in Jesus. Apostle Paul was let down in that basket, and then he was trained specifically by God. He went to like 2 years of Bible college where the Holy Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus are training him, setting him up for ministry. I keep double-clicking. This morning I talked to you about my specific kind of thorn in the flesh. At least I thought it was a thorn in the flesh. 2 years ago when I had that stroke, I'm laying in the ambulance, and I try to think, because I'm a joyful person, I like the joy of the Lord's my strength. So I'm laying there in the ambulance, and I'm going, the ambulance guy told me to hold my left hand. My left side was not there. He said, hold your left. It was a test. I didn't realize it was a test. Hold your left hand with your right hand so that it doesn't flop over. So there I was. I had a job to do in the ambulance, and I'm in there, and I'm going, literally, I must not be dying because there's no siren. And he's not going fast. I thought to myself, maybe you should go a little faster because I'm having a hard time holding. And then I went like this. It's like, okay. And he goes, hold your left hand with your right hand. I can't. He goes, oh. And I thought they were going to put the siren on. And zoom, they didn't put the siren on again. I'm like, what do I have to do here? And I thought it was like when the Apostle Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh. Now, those of you who want to have your Bibles open, you can even use the flyleaf of your Bible to write some notes or just listen real carefully, because I want to take you through this and show you some new things about a passage of Scripture that's, I think, curious to most people. Here's what it says. And lest I should be, the Apostle Paul is talking, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. The thorn was a messenger of Satan to buffet. How many people use the word buffet, not buffet? Buffet is used regularly. How about buffet? How many use that regularly? Okay, so the word buffet means to torment, to suffer terribly, and to harass. So let me read it with those words into place. Because of the measure of abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would suffer terribly and be harassed at every corner, lest I be exalted above measure. The Apostle Paul was a talented man. He was literally being used by God to write 12 books of Scripture. He was going and preaching and teaching everywhere. He was not a silver-tongued preacher. He had a poor, lisping, stammering tongue just like mine. But he had a testimony and what God had saved him from and then started him to do. He was above measure when it came to measuring preachers of the day. We know him as the greatest missionary of all times. So this is what he was dealing with. And he has this thorn, this, we don't know for sure what it is. He has this thorn, and next verse. Concerning this thing, this thorn, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, by the way, this is starting to teach you how to live supernaturally. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made in weakness. I believe the thorn in the flesh wasn't just one singular thing. I think it was a constant messenger of Satan trying to stop him in ministry at every moment, stop him through all kinds of struggles and trials, persecutions and sicknesses. I believe his eyes, we kind of know his eyes were going bad. Can you imagine being stoned to death? That had to hurt. Maybe he had a headache all the time. I know people that have a headache all the time. It's like they have these migraine headaches. I'm hoping I don't catch migraine headaches from anybody. Because I have a headache. This is how much a sissy I am. I get a little bit of a headache and I go to bed. So if I had a headache every day, where would I be? I wouldn't be. Well, I guess I'd learn how to deal with it. But let me start to to maybe shed some light on what this thorn in the flesh should be. I'm going to go back one verse here. It says that the thorn was a messenger of Satan that was tormenting, causing him to suffer terribly and harass. I believe the thorn in the flesh was a thorn in the flesh, like you pick something out of your hand or your leg or someplace when you're in the briars. But I believe also it was a constant attack, satanic attack that was happening to him. It says here, let's see if I can get the pointer. A messenger of Satan, the demonic world, the Bible says, and the Apostle Paul says it, that we need to have our full armor of God on at all times. That Satan's like a roaring lion, that he's like an angel of light, and he's trying to constantly deceive and trip us up and destroy us. He's the father of lies. And the Apostle Paul wrote about all those things because he knew. Concerning this, I just kept pleading. Three times I was pleading. I think pleading here was he was doing without food. He was just crying out to God. He had the ability to heal. He even had some handkerchiefs. Sometimes when he couldn't be three places at one time, he'd send a handkerchief to someone who asked for healing. But he couldn't have himself relieved of what was haunting him. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Look at the plurality here. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, see that little S? In reproaches, see that S? In needs, see that S? In persecutions, see that S? In distresses, see that S? For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How do you live supernaturally? You live in the power of God's strength in your own life. And when you've backslidden or you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, which is so easy to do, you're human. You need to go back to that first love, that strength, that almighty, all-powerful strength that's available to you to live your life in all kind of the S's that come your way. I thought today about grief. I had a couple of people and a couple of people that almost died of COVID. My father passed away this year. I thought about grief, and I thought some of you may be dealing with extreme grief right now. Maybe you have some people. I know about debilitating pain, but I've never had it. Back pain that's just always aching. Migraines that are always aching, like I discussed before. Whatever issue is happening in your life, the Apostle Paul's thorn was like that. He experienced this kind of constant gnawing at him. Now, what's interesting, and this is what I think is going to help seal some of this, what it's like to have a thorn in the flesh, and then what it's like to have a supernatural God helping you through that. Because to live supernaturally, you have to know what God's word says. And before the chapter 2 Corinthians 12, which I just read, does anybody want to guess what the chapter before that is? 2 Corinthians 11. I'm brilliant. I am brilliant. And what's in 2 Corinthians 11 helps us understand more what his life was really like. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says that Paul, he had a list of things that he mentioned, the different sufferings, the different difficulties that he went through in life. I kind of put it in list form. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. Faced death often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one, 39, because it was thought that a 40th stripe would kill a person. So they were bringing the person to the brink of death. So five times he almost died of being whipped with bone fragments in the whip. This would cause the back to just be totally laid open. Sometimes it'd miss and we hit the neck, wrap around the face. I was about 10 minutes late today because I cut myself shaving. Just a little one here. Hopefully it's not bleeding now. If it is, don't tell me until afterwards. So I just cut myself right here. Do you think I could get that stopped? It was just a little prick. Imagine having 39 whiplashes that are whipping around your body and tearing your flesh up to the point of death. Three times I was beaten with rods. A police billy club is what comes to my mind, but they were worse than that. Once I was stoned and left for dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. Now, you just think about this. How many people get shipwrecked? Not a whole lot of people. He got three times. Bobbing up and down, night and day in the sea, waiting to be saved from the sea. In 2 Corinthians 11 precedes when he talks about the thorn in the flesh, where he's constantly being held up by everything that Satan can throw at him. And what does he say? He says, I've learned from all of this not to be big-headed, proud, but how to dwell in the almighty supernatural abilities of God working through me. And that is available to you. Philippians 4:13, I think most of us memorized this when we were a kid. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul said that. He said that toward the end of his life because he had learned that through his weakness, 2 Corinthians 12, through his weakness, not through being delivered of the thorn in the flesh, not being delivered from Satan's constant attack, but God delivering him day by day in miraculous and mighty ways. Oops, double clicking again. I should be back there, right? Where am I supposed to click at? Back there? Up here? Ah, there. I got it. Yeah, I know these things. As a believer, I want to talk to you who maybe you're not for sure you are a believer. Because that's the first thing you have to make sure of. Make sure you're a part of God's family. Here's the promise. But as many as receive him, Jesus, to them Jesus gave the right to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. How many of you know what these letters mean up front here? Raise your hand if you know what these letters up here up front mean. Got two people, three? Anybody else? Four? Five, six. Okay. IHS is the English lettering of the name of Jesus, and the IHS would be letters of the Greek. So the Greeks have a different alphabet than us, but it's a transliteration. It is the first three letters of Jesus' name in Greek, put into English. That's what it is. It's a kind of a liturgical sign. It's a kind of a reminder. We need a reminder. Something that's always before us. And it starts this way. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now I'm going to do some mental gymnastics for the person with the video camera. I'm going to sit down here on the altar a second. I came to know Christ. I was the first person in my family to come to know Christ at age 7. I was at a revival service just like that. That's why I like to be at a revival service like this and even to present it, present the Word of God. I was there and the preacher was preaching, and at the end he talked about being born again, becoming a part of God's family, a part of the child of God. And he said, every head bowed and every eye closed, would you raise your hand if you've never received Christ as your Savior? He wants you to be his child. And boom, my arm went up that fast. And my mom took my arm and pushed it down that fast. By the way, my mom got, about 6 years later, mom got saved. And when she pushed my arm down, she said, we don't believe that way. Preacher said, I saw that boy back there who raised his hand. Young man, if you'd like to pray along with me to receive Jesus, you do that. Now, I had this little problem. The truth of God's word or the pushing down of my hand by my mom. I got saved. And like I said, 6 years later, my parents, 5 to 6 years later, my parents got saved. My two sisters got saved. But at 7, I hadn't really sinned much. I mean, I knew some stuff. But then there was like sin that started to come my way. And temptations that I had never even thought of when I was 7. And literally, I can remember from like age 12, 13 through 16, I just made sure I was saved many times. Because I wanted to make sure that I was holding the hand of Jesus for my whole life. That I wasn't going to make mistakes that were going to shame his name. And I really didn't understand fully yet. But I knew I needed the power of Jesus in my life. You do too. So I made sure. And I believe 1,000% that I'm a child of God. I don't even think I reached teenager yet. Because sometimes I'm not the most mature believer that I know. But I'm pretty honest. I got a long way to go. I'm supposed to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when there's an altar open, it's hard for me not to go up front. Because there's another thing that the Lord brings to mind that he's working on. He's working on me, perfecting me to be a model for him in every aspect of my life. Have you received Jesus? He gives you the right to become God's child. Okay, I'm pointing right at it now, I promise. Backwards doesn't work, frontward doesn't work. Did I turn it off? Turn it back on? Okay. Can you do it back there? Oh, there it is. It's got a little lag. All right. Now, because you are sons of God, if you trusted Christ as Savior, because you are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into the hearts, crying, Abba, Father, inside of you. So you are no longer a slave to sin and to the crazy cares of this world, the crazy politics of this world. By the way, how many people think the United States politics is really messed up? Okay. Here's something I'm going to let you in on. Been to 36 different countries. Haven't found a country that didn't have totally messed up politics. We're living in a world of totally messed up politics. Yeah, they are. Yeah, we're adopting crazy politics. But we can't fix that. But we can be in that with the power. Think of it here. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. I'm about ready to go up there and click it right up there. Maybe, can you move it ahead? There you go. What do you have to do? You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In your household, how can your household get saved if every person has to make a decision to be saved? Because your fathers and mothers, you're leading the way. And then the children may follow, but then they're going to watch your life. There's a stupid thing being said in today's world, by the way. Tangent. I'm going to go off on one. I'm going to cover it later in a message. Put your kids in a safe space and let them learn how to grow and their what their sexuality is and all that stuff. And help them just kind of put them in there and they'll find their own way. If I was told to be in a safe space and find my own way, I would have never been a faithful husband to my wife. I was trained what the Word of God said about relationships and about faithfulness, about finding the right wife and honoring and cherishing her until death do us part. You see, I believe people need to find themselves, but I believe the first place you find yourself is by believing on the Son of God. You can't just let the world kind of make the direction for your children by what they like or dislike. You have to train them in the love of a Savior who wants them to blossom into being all they can be for Him. And you too. Don't believe the lie. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That is offered to all of us. How do we live supernaturally? Do I look supernatural? Look pretty normal. But with the power of God through my life, I can still speak and proclaim with my lisping, stammering tongue. It's kind of hard to say that now. That Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You all bow your heads, close your eyes. In the last moments that we have here, I want to invite, and if the musicians want to come up, they can move forward. I want to invite you to think about two specific things. Are you 100% all in as a child of God? Do you know for sure that He saved you? Do you want to live with God moving you forward in your life, making a gigantic difference? Do you want to live supernaturally? It begins by saying, Lord, my life is here. My sin is here. My inconsistencies are here. And I want to become a child of God. And I did it when I was 7. Looking back, I believe I got saved that day. But I made sure because I wanted to have my hand not shaking it. By the way, a kid will constantly try to shake your hand away so that they can just run across the road all on their own lonesome, so they can do their own thing. I wanted to make sure that I was holding His hand as hard as He was holding my hand, and that I had a Savior guiding and leading me in my life. Do you know for sure? Is there anyone here? No one's looking around. Don't look around right now. Let's let it be a private thing for someone. Is there anybody here who's like, I'm kind of teeter-tottering here. I'm not sure I'm really saved. Is there anybody like that? Raise your hand. Real quick, up and down. Boom, boom, boom. Anybody? I'm looking. Okay, so My challenge this morning was for you to bring a neighbor, because I'm going to present the gospel every night. Bring a neighbor that doesn't know Jesus. Part two. I'm going to invite you. Some people deal with God in the pew. Other people deal with God up front of the church. Don't come up front of the church for the purpose of people seeing you. You come up front of the church if you desire to just bury some things at the altar so that you can move forward in your life. Let me name a couple things. Is there a constant shaking to get out of the hand of God so you can go and do your own thing? Do you have that happening in your life? Do you just constantly want your own way instead of God's way? Are you holding back on your loving Heavenly Father, your Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit that's empowering you for service? Are you holding back and kind of pushing, quenching, grieving God's work in your life because you just want to have your own way? Is that happening to anybody here? As we sing our songs to conclude the service, I want to invite you, because I'm just going to kneel up front here myself. Because at this point, I don't know of something that's like holding me back that I'm keeping from God. I definitely want to have a tender heart before Him. So if you want to come forward to pray alongside of me, kneeling up front here, feel free to do that. Pastor and I will be here after the service. Anybody who wants to talk, let's do business with God during these revival nights. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about how to keep that sin that easily besets us from constantly cropping up in our lives. There's a supernatural ability that's offered to each one of us. We're going to work on how to do that, the how-tos. The next night, we're going to talk about how to breathe heaven's air. It's smoggy here. Not maybe literally smoggy, but how do we breathe? Take a deep breath into heaven's air, and then looking forward to that supernatural future. And what's going to happen during the end times? Those are the things we're going to deal with. So I plead with you, consider bringing somebody with you. And I'll pray us out in saying this. Lord, we've talked about the burdens, the things that easily kind of keep us from tapping in to the supernatural power of God in our lives. We kind of grieve. We kind of push away the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just help us to start to grapple and wrestle with these things so that we can become a part of the living family of God serving you in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.